Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to episode 115 of the Everything Coworking Podcast. We are going to just dive in today. I'm skipping the intro. If you don't know who I am, definitely listen to the last couple of episodes. We had some great special guests, including Hannah Walker and BJ, I'm going to say his last name right, Rossinus. Hannah talked about her first year in business at WorkHub Tyler, and BJ talked about insurance, which I thought was not going to be our sexiest topic, but let me tell you, lots of excitement about the insurance episode over in our Facebook group. And if you're not in the Facebook group, come join us. EverythingCoworkingClub.com will get you there as a short link. And before I dive into today's topic, this episode is brought to you by my coworking startup school. I am opening the doors on Monday, August 5th. You might be listening to this right after that. So if you are interested and are not on the mailing list yet, make sure you jump on the mailing list and I'll get you all the details this week. It's only open through Thursday, August 8th. So jump in while you can. So Monday, August 5th, doors open, close Thursday, August 8th. I will open it one more time at the end of the year. I'm excited to bring in a new cohort. Our last cohort was back in March and they are rolling along. A couple are in almost launch mode already. So if you are ready to start your journey to design and launch a profitable co-working space that you love to run, this is the program for you. So to get on the mailing list and get all the details, www.coworkingstartupschool.com. That'll opt you in and you will get emails Monday morning. And if you're listening to this before that, I'll make sure to catch you up on those emails as soon as you subscribe. We have a couple of previous Coworking Startup School members that have recently launched. Shout out to Jamie Imes, who just opened HQ Workspace in Gilbert, Arizona. Her space, and I'm going to have her on the podcast. I'm going to wait till towards the end of the year when she's got some months of being open under her belt. But I'm super excited for her to share her insights. She has opened a kid-friendly space and recently shared that one of her biggest member fans is a dad. She's also serving creatives. She has a podcast studio and a photo studio. She is a wedding planner in her former and I suppose partially current life when she's not at the co-working space. And so she's decked out the space to support folks like her. And then we have Fireworks Co-working in Marietta, Georgia. Sunny and Rob run a marketing agency and they actually just redid our Global Workspace Association website. Check it out if you are looking for a website designer, developer. They do fantastic work. We had a great experience working with them and loved it that we got to keep it in the family. So they own a building in Marietta, Georgia, and just expanded their space to include co-working. And I love the brand Fireworks. I think it gets me fired up to think about going to a workspace with that name. And of course, I have to mention their all-star community manager, general manager, Hannah, who is making things happen there. And they've been open for a little bit. They've kind of been phasing in their opening, but I think they're rocking and rolling now. So congrats to them. So today's topic, let's dive in. We are going to talk about outsourcing. I mentioned this a couple of episodes ago. We were talking about, you know, things to do when the competition starts heating up. And some of these things you just might not have time to get to, right? We're always struggling with all the project lists and all the things to do and trying to figure out how to prioritize and how to get things done. And most of us are probably working with fairly small teams. Either the owner's doing a lot of work or you have a community manager and the two of you are trying to make it all happen. So I'm going to share with you some experience I've had with outsourcing that's been really helpful. And I'm not talking about major budget outsourcing. Certainly with the GWA, we do much bigger outsourcing like website overhauls and things like that. But for my co-working space, I'm going to throw in a couple of GWA examples too, because we outsource a bunch because we're also a small but mighty team. Just to give you some ideas of what can be outsourced and walk you through my favorite platform for outsourcing and just how the process works and a couple of tips. So, well, first I'll tell you what the platform is that we use, and then I'll run you through some examples of what we've gotten done on the platform. So I use Upwork a lot, and you may have heard of this, although it always surprises me the number of people who give me a blank stare when I mention it. It used to be Elance and Odesk, and they merged into this platform, and it is amazing. So check it out, upwork.com, UPwork, and it is basically a platform where you can search and find or post a job that you need to get done, and you can invite folks that you've searched and look like they fit the bill to apply for a job posting, or you can post the job and let freelancers find your job and bid on the job. And the beautiful thing about this platform is I haven't found anything that can't be done yet. I mean, they can't come to your house and hang stuff on your walls. It's not like a TaskRabbit. It's all virtual. But freelancers from all over the world, and it's just the breadth of work that they do is astounding. And it's a really great platform because I sort of, when I explain it to people, I say, well, it's sort of like Amazon. You know, there are ratings and reviews and comments. And so when you go to hire somebody, you have a really good sense of whether they're top notch or not. And typically I go ahead and wait for the top notch folks. But so I'll walk you through kind of what that looks like on the platform. And you can choose sort of what range you want to spend in. You can say, look, I want somebody who's, you know, cheap and maybe not as experienced, but this is a basic thing, so I don't really care. Or I'm looking for somebody who really knows what they're doing, and I'm going to pay in the higher end of experience range for this. So let me give you a few examples of things that I've outsourced over time. I mean, it's a pretty broad range. So I'm working on an ebook. So I have somebody who is formatting the ebook for me. I am really a chronic DIYer often, and I will go down rabbit holes trying to figure things out myself. I am constantly trying to get better at that and not do it because it's just, I don't have the time. You know, I need to be producing and being helpful to you guys. And to do that, I need to write the ebook, not format the ebook. So I posted that and I found this wonderful woman who is walking me through the process, and she's telling me what she needs. And she's taken my Google Doc and some images, and she's going to make it all happen. Certainly design. I have a designer that I work with for the GWA. We found great designers on Upwork, and we have ongoing contracts with them. So sometimes we'll do, and I'll get into that when I talk about how this works, but you can do a one-off project. So I don't, you know, the ebook is a one-time thing for now. And then, you know, you can have folks that really are part of your team, like the designer. So we have, I use the same person actually that we use for GWA. So it's great woman, Catherine. We work with her on an ongoing contract, and it's all billed through the platform. And we will manage work outside of the platform. So I use Asana, and I'll put tasks in Asana and assign them to Catherine, but she goes into Upwork and marks off her time and bills through Upwork. But it's like she's a part of the team. I literally can go into Asana and think, okay, you know, what projects do we have and who on the team is going to help? And Catherine can be one of those resources. A couple of other things. So co-working related, I had somebody fix some chat issues that we had with the chat on our site. We switched chat services. I had him install the new chat service. We needed a secure certificate on our website, so I had a developer do that. And the simple developer resource to me is amazing, because how many times do you just have little things that you want to fix on your website and you don't need an agency to do it? You don't need somebody who's super expensive. And so if you're willing to work with folks that are overseas, you can get some really good rates on work. And this is one of my tips I was going to save for the end, but when you post a job, it'll ask you whether you want folks only in the US or outside of the US. And typically you'll pay less if you use folks that are overseas. However, keep in mind that if it's kind of like a high communication project where it's easier to talk to people like within your workday, then you might want to specify time zones that you can actually communicate with during the day, because there's nothing more frustrating than putting up some direction. It turns out not to be clear enough. You're sleeping. the developer gets up, looks at it, can't figure it out, doesn't do anything, tells you they're unclear, need more information, they go to bed, you wake up, it's like days can go by and things don't get done. So if it's really critical and they're, you know, it's maybe not the clearest project and you need to be able to communicate live, then pick somebody that's in a time zone that matches your workday. And again, you can communicate outside of the platform or inside of the platform. The platform actually has like a little video, like sort of a Skype functionality, basically. But you can also get on a Skype and do those types of things outside of the platform. It's really for finding people and, you know, messaging on the project if you want to, and then billing. What else? So again, back to kind of the creative realm, member features. So we have a writer that we found on Upwork, and I've had her do member features when my community manager either can't get to it or isn't a good writer. And one of the things I found, one of the benefits to this, it's writers on Upwork tend to be pretty reasonable, like $25 an hour. You can get a lot of writing done for that rate and not, you know, not have to set aside a really big budget for it. So things like member features, we have the writer schedule time with the members and do an interview with them, and then we can use it for social media and blog posts. We have to take the photographs, obviously, because we're local, or use their LinkedIn headshots or whatever. But there's a certain weight that comes from asking a member, you know, if our writer can call, set aside a time with you and interview you for a member feature. It feels a little more premium than having the community manager do it. So we tend to get them done faster when we have a professional writer do it. So that's another great example. And also they just get done. So we'll give them a list of members. We'll typically make an introduction over email and connect them and then let them go ahead and schedule and then just wait for the finished product to show up, which is great. I've had CAD drawings updated. I haven't done this, but a lot of my flight group and co-working startup school members have had renderings done on Upwork. So, you know, they'll take images and drawings from an architect and then get maybe furniture images that they're using. And it's amazing what you can get done in terms of renderings to help you with your pre-sales, or if you're doing an extension of your space or you're opening a second space, leveraging renderings. And it can be an inexpensive way to get them done. Typically going through an architect can be super expensive. So that's another one. Through the GWA, we've done a couple of interesting things. This may not be relevant to co-working, but I'm going to mention it just to go through the kind of breadth of what can get done. Every 2 years, we do a benchmarking study. And for the last two times that we've done it, we've used a woman from Upwork who is a research scientist. So she's helped us to frame the questions and make sure the survey is designed well. And then she analyzes the data when it comes in. And so we found her on Upwork. She's been fantastic to work with. For the GWA, and I've been trying to think of a good example of how this might relate, I can think of one. We had a woman make some phone calls to co-working spaces, and I can't remember what episode it is, but it's the one where I talk about, please just answer your phone, because only 30% of co-working spaces answer their phone. And not to go off on a tangent here, but I listened to a podcast about the local guy who helps, he has software for people who run CrossFit gyms. And he was doing an interview with this guy who's in sales and calls on CrossFit gyms, and found the same thing with CrossFit gyms. It was like 25% of them were answering their phone. That is not the way to get business, right? Anyway, so we hired a woman to make phone calls. And if you have like a local small business list, I'm trying to think of how you would get that. Maybe through the state records of folks that are starting new businesses, you could have a person who basically does telemarketing for you. You know, give them a script and have them make outbound calls. I hate doing that. And so I love to hire somebody who likes to do it. So what else have we done? Oh, MailChimp, HTML templates for member newsletters, artwork for events, sticker artwork, banner artwork. We've had WordPress themes installed, blog writing and editing. And that's another big one. When we think about critical things in our business that we need to get done, like content marketing, again, back to the member features, that's a great content sort of library to develop for your blog posts and social media. And even just blog posts, you can assign a writer to write research and write about anything. Give them keywords and let them go. And you may need to go in and kind of update it to, or tweak it, I should say, to fit your voice. But at least it's, you know, 80% done, right, by somebody else, and you can batch produce them. So, you know, think about doing this for the fall. You could say, look, I'm going to get September, October, November, December blog posts just done. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to brainstorm a list. Kat Johnson has a great list of, I think it's 50 blog posts. Google Kat Johnson 50 blog posts for co-working spaces. I think it's hit more hidden on her site than it used to be. But she has a great list of ideas. You could pull, you know, say you want to post twice a month, 4 months. So you could pull 8 ideas and assign them to a writer. Boom, done. And then your community manager can focus on posting them to the blog, to the website, and using them as social media content. Although really, when you talk about kind of outsourcing to a team, if your internal team is having a hard time getting to these things, if you don't have kind of a centralized marketing group, and it's your community manager at one location or two locations trying to do all these things, you know, you can assemble a little team from Upwork. And like I said, use Asana and, you know, run the process with that team. You could have a website developer that puts, you know, once the writer's done with the feature, post it as a blog post, and you give it a designer who does the images and then creates Facebook posts and Instagram posts from it. I mean, you could really assemble a little outsourced team that's just kind of rocking and rolling on this stuff. And you and your community manager don't have to be involved. You could be focusing on sales and in-person member events and the things that really have to be done, you know, in-house on location. One other thing I wanted to mention, SEO. So there are lots of SEO experts, and some of these folks can be hard to find. Although, again, reviews are a great indicator, and then feel free to interview them on the phone. I just talked to one yesterday that I wanted to work with on some email automation. We talked on the phone for an hour, and it was great. So just because you're acquiring a lead for these projects through a platform does not mean that you cannot talk to them live and get to know them, ask for some references, that kind of thing. But SEO is another sort of critical one. We have somebody for the GWA who goes through and checks our broken links and also goes through. We have a lot of back content that never got tagged appropriately. So the headers and the keywords and all the things that go into making a post crawlable and findable by Google and the other search engines sometimes just didn't get done. And so he's going back and making sure that that's all done. And he gives us a report every month on how our SEO is going. So those are basic things you could have done as well. Again, you could make that person a part of your team. And once a blog post is written or a member feature is done that you turn into a blog post, then you could have them go through and optimize it for keywords. And if you have like a tool like Yoast in your WordPress site, go in there and fill out all those fields and make sure that you're staying on top of those things. Those are things that like they make a difference over time, but it's so hard to get to when you're running a space and we're, you know, trying to get people into your space and give them tours and convert them. Okay, I'm just going to walk you through what it looks like when you go to post a job on Upwork. So you can choose either short-term part-time work, which would be less than 30 hours a week and less than 3 months, or you can find someone long-term, more than 30 hours a week or 3 or more months. And so you choose that when you get started. You put in a title and a job category. The job categories can be a little bit tricky, I will tell you. Sometimes I'm like, I can't find one that really fits what I'm looking for. So you just kind of have to go with the closest one and roll with it. So it'll ask you for a category and then someone who specializes in things in that category. So if you put in sales and marketing, then you get lots of options for specialties like business development, campaign management, content strategy, digital marketing, email marketing. So if you're looking for someone real specific, you can kind of narrow it down really quickly, and I think it helps their algorithm on the back. And then you put in a description of what you're looking for, and it says a good description includes what the deliverable is, the type of freelancer you're looking for, and anything unique about the project or the team, and then it asks for project files. So like for my ebook, for example, I put the link into my Google Doc where I'd written the ebook and then just walked through the images that I was going to add and some links that were in there. I'm trying to think of what else I put in there. Oh, and a couple of sample ebooks that I wanted to model. So, you know, try to be as specific as you can here because it'll help you attract and identify the right people. And then you choose whether it's a one-time project, an ongoing project, or a complex project. So I suspect this platform has become a place where people can really get long-term folks and hire agencies. There are definitely agencies on here to use. So again, it's super flexible. And then you can add screening questions. They're totally optional, but you can select from a suggested list. Do you have any questions about the job description? Which of the required job skills do you feel you are strongest at? I never use those, unless I have. I'm trying to think of an example. I don't think I've ever used them. Cover letter, you can request that folks have to do a cover letter, which I kind of like because it shows they're really interested in the work. You can also create your own screening questions if you have something specific that you would like to request. And then, so it'll ask you to select which skills and expertise are most important to you out of the specialty that you picked. And again, it's optional, but it helps you just really narrow down so that you're not screening 50,000 candidates, but, you know, the folks who are really suited to what you're looking for. And then I mentioned this earlier, you can select which level of experience the freelancer should have: entry level, intermediate, or expert. And then I think it'll suggest pricing based on this. And it gives you a description of kind of which of each of those buckets. And then it'll ask you, do you want US only or worldwide? It's probably asking me that because I'm in the US. And if you're not in the US, it may phrase that differently. And then if you're in the US, would you like the folks to be in a specific location? So if you're looking for someone in the same time zone as you, for example, you could specify that. And then you can specify who can see this job posting. Anyone, which means Upwork freelancers and search engines, only Upwork freelancers or invite only. So I almost never do anyone because I don't want search engines to find it. I really only want the folks that have qualified themselves on the Upwork platform and that have reviews and history and comments and that I can really get a sense for when they apply. And then invite only, I've done a number of times. If someone that I know uses somebody on Upwork and they like them, then I will find their profile and invite them to my job. And you can message them as well. And then it asks you, how many freelancers do you need? And then again, you can add talent preferences, which is, oh, I see, either independent or agency. I almost never want an agency because I don't want to pay for agency overhead in most of these cases. I'll take an agency if I'm doing a total website overhaul, but typically I'm looking for someone independent. And then you can specify, you know, how much experience you want them to have on the Upwork profile if you want to get into that detail. I would say if you're new at this, just feel it out. Don't put any, you know, put the parameters in that are really important. Don't worry about getting super granular on some of these last drop downs. Okay, so I'm going to wrap us up for today. Hope that was helpful in giving you a sense of, sometimes it's just mindset, thinking, right, I should outsource this stuff instead of getting stuck on, we're not getting enough done. Make your team a little bit bigger. You know, we're heading, if you can't do it this year, start thinking about 2020 and set aside some outsourcing budget. And again, you can get some really affordable, high quality freelancers, especially if you're willing to work, if you're in the US, work overseas. So hope that was helpful. I'll put some notes in the show notes and a link to Upwork, of course. And I hope you're having a great week. And again, if you're interested in the Coworking Startup School, even if not for this round, make sure you get yourself on that waiting list at www.coworkingstartupschool.com.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.